from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
Yeah, buddy, welcome in. It's hour number three of the nation. We have CY coming up in 20 minutes. Flagtober 2024 is now right around the corner. Brought to you by Whataburger. Stay tuned to social for a sneak peek tease of that flag real soon. Hope you're having a great day. Mark Schlereth coming up at 4:40. We'll be talking football with him. It's time now for a hodgepodge. Here's the chief.
Joey Chestnut, have a day, sir.
He did something?
Joey, 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 Joey.
Man, the Jaws was in full force. He is
all
as
beef,
dominant.
Hot dogs? All beef?
All beef. All beef,
hot dogs?
Yep. The unfinished beef has now been finished by the great American that is Joey Chestnut. He dominates the hot dogs once again. They don't stand a chance. 10 minutes, 83 dogs, sets a new personal record. And you have to wonder if he's just still scratching the surface on how great he can be.
He might be like that Swedish pole vaulter dude where he can just add one whenever he wants to, just to flex. Like, oh, Kobayashi's out here. I'm going to add one today, Mom. Watch this.
I do like that move a lot. Yeah. I like, and he was doing this. How about it? He cranked up the difficulty on Hall of Fame mode. He said, no, I'm not even going to dunk him in water this time.
What?
Yeah. He didn't even go with the dunky. He's like, just watch. Watch me work. Now, he was hammering home water while he had the dogs in his mouth.
He would just shove
but
them
he
in
was anxious technique. He wasn't doing the dip, which Walchuk experienced when he went toe-to-toe with some dogs on July 4th for 10 minutes, like 5 years ago now. He hit 9.5, but once he got to about 7 or whatever, maybe 6, he went to the dip, and he started just his out. It was just dominating with the pace there. So that is definitely something that works. Kobayashi, hell of a run for him as well, because he also set a personal record. It was like 66.
Yeah, 66, which I think would have won this year's hot dog eating contest.
Okay, now how many of
those?
Not
bad for a dude that was sick of food. Right?
Yeah.
He had like a jaw issue.
Great. He made a full recovery.
Yeah. Like all of a sudden he's like, oh, I can't. If I see food, I'm going to get sick.
We had the thing in his brain where it was like activated. Anytime he saw food or smelled it, it was like he became nauseous for a while. So I guess he's clearly been able to overcome that.
I'd say
that.
Ate 66 hot dogs.
Now, if he ate 66 hot dogs, how much weight do you think he gained? And if Chestnut, like in pounds.
Oh, goodness.
Like Chestnut had 83 hot dogs.
Seven.
Let's do it with Joey Jaws.
Seven.
Okay.
7 pounds.
Broadus is going to start the bidding at 7 pounds. Anybody want to go higher?
18.
Yeah.
18 pounds. Okay.
I'm going to go a little higher. I'll go 21.
19 pounds.
Oh, jeez.
He gained it. He went from 222 to 241. Nice work, fellas.
That's crazy.
You guys know your weight gain with the best of them.
Yeah, trust me, it fluctuates pretty steadily for me.
Kobayashi went from 158 pounds, and then 66 hot dogs later, he was 180 pounds in the post-bout weigh-in.
I'll tell you what, I figured out, we were talking at the break, I figured out something I could eat, I think, competitively.
Oh, really?
Yeah, brownies.
Oh, the brownies.
Is it any brownies or specifically Bobby's wife's brownies?
Those brownies are unbelievably good.
She does a great job.
Yeah, okay. But I think if you gave me those, like a tray of those, I think I could punish those. Just a tray. Just put the tray out there and let me go.
The tray of those brownies, I'm with you. They're so good.
Why'd I throw you off with my commentary there? You kind of stopped.
I was just reading reading some of the text here.
Yeah.
And I was also trying to just
pay
acknowledge.
Yeah.
I was trying to acknowledge that Joey Chestnut made $100,000 for winning. And usually for the Nathan's contest, you win $10,000.
Oh,
so this is a huge win for him.
Screw Nathan's. We're doing Netflix every year. This is the tournament we all wanted anyway.
I can't believe these guys are so greedy wanting to get paid for, you know, playing a sport. You know, what, 10's not enough?
Yeah.
What, the hot dogs, the sustenance? Gosh. We're flying you out here.
How many people you think watch this?
Putting you on TV?
I think a lot of people watch this thing. I know I did.
It's a great question, dude. Yeah. Honestly, I'm not totally
sure.
I'm going to
admit, I did not.
Hey, big winner of the weekend was Walchuk flying home from his vacation and giving himself the buffer day before going back to work.
Yeah,
he didn't fly in yesterday like a rookie.
He didn't know.
Well, maybe hey, blind squirrel situation, that's fine. Still a dub.
No,
still a victory.
Big dub was baby girl was tremendous on these flights.
I didn't know kids could fly in the cargo department.
You just get an infant lap seat.
I thought it was just in the cargo bay.
You can put your child down there?
I thought maybe that's what you had done.
No, not at all. I love my daughter.
Get a little pet carrier.
I could
drop her off with the luggage.
Cargo display, Brian. She was really good.
Get her a fresh diaper.
She was.
Right.
Yeah, she was fantastic.
Were you panicking the whole flight?
I was stressed when we were boarding to go. I was like,
did you take advantage of the early boarding?
No.
Yeah, that's a rookie move right there.
Well, the reason why is I was saying we need to do this. My wife didn't believe me that was a thing.
No, you got to take advantage of that.
Once you get in that fight, I'm not pushing anymore, honey. We'll do whatever you want to do.
Okay.
But hindsight worked out great, and baby girl was fantastic.
You pants.
Sometimes you got to pick your battles, Brian.
That's why I'm divorced twice. Divorced twice because I was me pants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I go all in with Connor Wegman having the worst weekend in college football, could you top me with that?
Because the way he played,
just individuals. Just individuals. I think Dabo had a terrible weekend. Yeah. I would say Billy Napier of Florida.
I hate to say this, awful
weekend.
Our guy out at Texas Tech almost had an.
Oh, Joey McGuire. Red Raider fans.
Abilene Christian took them to overtime in that thing. That wasn't a good weekend for.
Look, my Mean Green might have a shot going to Lubbock and winning in a couple of weeks.
You with say, old Chandler Morris,
maybe.
Yeah,
is he still quarterbacking?
Yeah,
Chandler Morris.
Game.
Yeah,
led North Texas to an opening day victory.
How many years?
I mean, dude, we got a guy
at number four for him.
We have a guy at Miami who caught a touchdown.
I know,
who's in
nine
his ninth
years.
Year.
Chandler Morris to me seems like he's been in the league for 6 years.
I think he's a 4-year guy.
Three schools.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Bounced around a little bit, but seems like he may have found a home.
Oklahoma, TCU, and now North Texas. And I begged him to go there from the beginning, and he finally listened.
Dude, Billy Napier, the head coach for Florida, I mean, this guy is, he's having to talk through at the podium the embarrassment of the L that his team took to the Hurricanes, where they just didn't show up. And Carter Freeman was there in attendance.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, he was.
And the Hurricanes looked like a really, really good football team. They actually have a quarterback in Cam Ward, who's now the Heisman favorite after weekend one of college football. Yes.
They might win that ACC. I mean, it's so darn bad. A bad conference.
Yeah, Miami has no excuse not to win it. That's for dang sure.
Butchin's team looked good last night.
Maybe Boston College is sneaky. I know Carter picked NC State. NC State had a little bit of scare as well, but they pulled it out.
But Billy Napier, the Florida head coach, I mean, his team's getting crushed, and then he's at the podium after the game having to talk about the embarrassment, and he's fighting through trying to open up a water bottle, and then he just punts on it. It's like 20-plus seconds of him literally voicing how sad and down and embarrassing that loss was.
And you can hear him fumbling?
No, you can't hear. You can just see him trying to get this water bottle open at the podium, and he just can't do it. And so finally just sets it down. It was like 25 seconds of work. Yeah. And I've had one of those bottles before. I think we've all had one of those bottles before. You're like, this is the bottle. This is not a me problem.
You think the top melted?
But it was a bad look for him.
Somebody glued the top of it.
It was very, very, it was very much so like symbolism for the day that was for the Florida Gators. Just absolutely terrible.
You just want to take that thing and wham it against the edge of the table to open it.
Yes. You know? For sure.
Brian Kelly-like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He would have.
Yeah. Brian Kelly was really upset.
That Southern accent
he was
really evaporated after that loss.
There was some. I mean, I enjoyed watching old Arch run around out there, but there was some unbelievable individual performances, dude. Like, how about Dylan
Raiola?
Did you
watch that Boise running back?
The Nebraska freshman quarterback. Yes. The Boise running back was great. The Nebraska freshman quarterback, Dylan Raiola, and then Nico. I'm not even going to try and say his last name at Tennessee.
Tennessee. They say he might be the best quarterback in the country.
Those two, they're going to be 1-2 in 3 years from now in the draft. Yeah. Those guys are unreal.
Yeah, Raiola, and now it's Colorado, Dion, going into Lincoln on a Saturday night.
I can't wait for this
game. That's happening this Saturday night.
And that venue is amazing there in Lincoln, Nebraska. That is going to be a blast to watch.
100-plus thousand people. Dylan Raiola, coming out party, collision course. Or is it Shedeur Sanders? I'll tell you, Shedeur Sanders just feels like the guy, like in a big moment, you kind of feel like, I got confidence.
Why does this feel like Nebraska just go ahead and just, you know, peeing down their leg in this one? Like, they have a chance to win, and then they don't. Something happens.
That has been the way Nebraska's played Nebraska over the last 6 years.
Nebraska will play, have a great defensive effort, and then all of a sudden Michigan State will score in a block punt.
Things change, though, when you have a quarterback, man. I mean, Miami now is a quarterback, and they look like a different program. And if Raiola is absolutely nasty, Fat Mahomes, if he's the real deal.
Fat Mahomes, you called him?
I mean, I think that's what
that people
that's
joke around that he's Fat Mahomes. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were just making stuff up.
I texted Bobby and Brian as I was, you know.
You knee-jerked that one pretty good.
Wait.
I'm all in on Dylan Raiola. I said, hey, get this Dak Prescott 3-year deal done, and then just go ahead and draft Dylan Raiola. Yeah.
That's what he said.
Your next quarterback.
That's what he said.
He's putting a court. Hey, listen, you got to have a 5-year plan. Wolchuk's got one. That's a guy who's thinking ahead.
I'm trying.
And then Bobby trolled him. How'd Bobby troll you?
Bobby wants Garrett Nussmeyer. But hey, Flower Mount Marcus guy.
Oh yeah, that's right. He did. He went after Nussmeyer.
And hey, Nuss, I can't tell you how the first half went of that game.
Nuss played well. I mean, you're playing behind a.
I'm pulling for Nussmeyer, man.
I'll pull him for
one
him.
Player to watch in high school.
The Miami quarterback Cam Ward called out the Florida Gator fan base because they were at the Swamp. He said, "Note to the fans: you have to be loud when we're in the huddle, not just when we break the huddle." And he said the Swamp wasn't even close to as loud as USC or Oregon. It's like, wow, just salt in the wound there. I mean, heck, Miami had a receiver that did like a midfield spin move, like back to the sideline, and burned like four players and gained an extra like 30 yards. But one of those dudes in the process of being spun on literally towards ACL. You're like, oh my gosh. It was just one of those awful start to finish days for Florida. I did want to shout out another guy.
Their schedule doesn't get any easier.
Ryan Williams, 17 years old. He's a wide receiver for Alabama. He's the next guy. He has to be because at 17 years old, his first catch was an 84-yard touchdown. He followed it up with his second catch, a 55-yard touchdown.
It's amazing.
It was 2 for 139 and 2 touchdowns before halftime for this kid, 17 years old. Alabama's still going to be cranking out some dudes like that.
Ohio State got another one, too.
Ohio State has another.
Jeremiah Smith, keep an eye on him. Mm. He had 2 touchdowns, 6 catches, 92 yards. He's also a freshman.
One of the other funny things from the weekend, we know Brad Sham will jump on you on Twitter from time to time.
Oh, yeah.
He did that to RJ Ochoa.
Unprovoked, too.
RJ Ochoa tweeted out, Greeny on Get Up right now, talking about Clemson not utilizing the transfer portal, mentioned that NFL teams don't just draft players and develop them anymore. They also use free agency. And then Ochoa said, hey now, the Dallas Cowboys. So he's kind of like calling out the Cowboys like, hey, they're kind of the Clemson of the NFL. They don't use all the resources for talent acquisition. And then Brad
was like, well, what about Carl Lawson and the defensive tackle?
Hey, Linville Joseph.
Linville Joseph.
Dalvin Cook.
Are you kidding me? Eric Kendricks.
Sham was not tagged in the original tweet, but he saw it. And so he responded back, does the public know you're never around the team or organization? Question mark.
Well, he's at training camp every year.
Yes, he is at training camp every single day.
Come on,
year.
Brad.
Brad is just, when he lashes out, man, he'll get you. I mean, so I don't know. I think a lot of people went after Brad after that because we all respect RJ Ochoa, no matter where his feet are.
It's never a good idea to debate with members of the team's broadcast staff because they know minutia. And what they'll do is they'll change the debate from your original premise to some minutia that you can't really discuss with them because you're not around the team every day. You know?
What the hell do we know?
Like, see, dunked on you. What do you really know, RJ Ochoa, about free agency?
You're not even here.
I mean, that's swerving across four lanes of traffic to hit a fellow member of the media. I'd be pretty hacked if I was RJ right now.
Yeah, well, I think Sham, you know, took a bit of a beating there in the comments, but nonetheless, that was quite the interaction from the weekend.
It was, and it is time now for Chris Young to join us, and then Mark Schlereth will join us and talk football. So baseball, football, back-to-back coming up next. It's the GBAC Nation.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It is the GBAC Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Time now for the Chris Young Show. Segments brought to you by Soda, that's state of the art. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's hurt in an accident, not your fault. Call the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by carsforkids.org. Donate today at carsforkids.org. And it is time now here for the Chris Young Show in the GBAC Nation. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Hey, guys, I'm well. How are you all?
We're doing about the same. Thank you. Story up on ESPN today that sets the scene. It's all about how the Rangers are just the latest team to struggle after winning the World Series. I was wondering how much you guys talked about that internally, or if Boach had mentioned anything about how tough it was for him in San Francisco.
Well, yeah, I mean, we came into the season with expectations that this was a world championship caliber team, and that, you know, we understood how much everything had to go our way. And what we saw last year with everything aligning there at the end when we got healthy and everybody performed at a very high level the last week of the season into the playoffs. And so, I don't take for granted, and I've been part of it as a player as well in Kansas City in 2015. So I don't take for granted how magical those years are. I can't say perfectly that we saw this type of regression coming, that we would take such a large step backwards this season. And that's been the hard part for us as an organization. But, we've had numerous conversations, even through the off season, trying to account for how are we going to get back and play October baseball and give ourselves a chance to win the World Series again. And we thought, you know, we put together a very good roster, a very talented roster. We were depending a lot on a lot of the players that we had returning. And, for numerous reasons, it just hasn't gone our way this year. There have been a lot of contributing factors, and I think they all are important, from injuries to underperformance to some personnel decisions that me and the front office are responsible for. And ultimately, we're going to take a hard look and figure out what we need to do better this offseason to make sure that next year we bounce back and get back to being the team we believe we can be.
Do you think you could get back to the same level of confidence that you had in this team? That it can be at that 2023 level when we get to surprise next spring?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I really don't. I think with the talent we have and the core group that we have returning, obviously we have work to do this offseason and making the roster better and improving some areas that we didn't perform well this year. But my expectation every year is going to be to show up and to have a team that's capable of competing for a World Series championship. I just don't believe in this market that we should ever come to spring training without World Series expectations unless we are committed to an absolute rebuild. And frankly, I think those days are behind us.
CY, you mentioned that, every year seems to be different, either championship. Are there things that fundamental core values that you hold near and dear to you, did they get shaken a little bit this year, or is it something that it's just something that you believe in it so much that it'll never shake you?
Well, the core values aren't based on the performance of this year's team. The core values are based on successful organizations over the history of time. These core values have really passed those tests, and sure, all championship teams exhibit those core values. So I think it's up to us to continue to stay true to those values and make sure that we identify players and create an environment that is going to bring out and highlight those values. And when we see things that are contrary to the values, that we correct them or we move on from those types of behaviors. So I don't question the values that we have. I really believe that we do have a great group of guys. I think that for whatever reason, just a lot of them have had down years and it's been frustrating. I think that, there's an argument to be made that if you put this roster together 7 out of 10 years, you'd probably have winning seasons and 3 of them you may not. And this was one of the years that we haven't. But we are going to be faced with tough decisions moving forward and who fits, who doesn't, and where we need to improve and how we're going to put together a championship caliber club next year, because that's my expectation and that's what our fans deserve and that's what we're committed to.
One of your core players, obviously, Marcus Semien, and Marcus is a warrior, you know better than anybody, wants to play every single day, but last year he sets the record for most at-bats in a single season. I don't know that the production has quite been there to his standard this year. I wonder your assessment of him as a whole, and is there something maybe going into the future that you're going to have to say, you're about to be 34, you'll look into maybe trying to give him more days off?
Yeah, and certainly the workload management is something not specific to Marcus, but with every player we have, making sure that they're getting enough rest and recovery to perform at their highest level and consistently perform at their highest level. And so with Marcus, it's going to be very important with any player getting into their mid to upper 30s. We're going to have to monitor that. That said, Marcus is about as good as they get in terms of the way he prepares, the way he takes care of himself, his routine, his work ethic, knowing himself, knowing when he needs to push it, when he can back off. And he really embodies so many characteristics of great players in terms of his preparation and routine and the care factor. So, as Marcus's season attributed in terms of the offensive decline that we've seen, in the second half, is that attributed to a workload management issue? It could be, and that's something we're evaluating. Or is it that, hey, just like many of the other guys, some of whom have had plenty of rest and haven't performed, is it just a down year? And so, I always say, I tell my kids all the time that if every game can't be your best game, or else you'd never have a best game. And I sort of feel the same on baseball seasons, that every year can't be your best season on your baseball card. And this year, unfortunately, we've had a lot of down years by traditional standards for the norm for a lot of our players. So that said, protecting Marcus, making sure that he ages well into his mid to late 30s and maintains his ability to compete at a very high level. And I don't want to take away from what Marcus has done offensively for us. Defensively for us, he's had a great year defensively. I think he may be leading baseball in runs saved, and he made a heck of a play last night. And so, Marcus is still a leader in the organization. He's a tremendous player, and we're grateful for all the positives that he brings, and recognize that he's every player is going to have down moments in their career, and our expectation is Marcus, just like many others, is going to bounce back.
Could we get an update on your pitching injuries? Did we get some bad news on Gray, and any update on Malley?
Yeah, John came in today and, we had a hard conversation. Obviously, John has been a big part of our team this year. He struggled here of recent, but, there were times throughout the year where he's carried us, and he's been dealing with this neuroma, which is, a nerve issue in his toe of his right foot, which is his push-off foot. And it's gotten to the point where it's really impacting him, not just in terms of pitching, but his day-to-day, his life, being able to sleep, be able to drive, walk, stuff like that. And so it's at a point now where we need to get it fixed. I think there's a surgical and very easy surgical repair that really won't impact his off season, allow him to train and be strong for next year. So John was at a point where we felt like we're better off just getting this fixed now and giving him a full off season to train and prepare versus prolonging this and having him pitch through pain, especially when he may be compromising his mechanics. So it was a tough call to make, but I think the right call nonetheless. And we're grateful for all John's given us this year, and hopeful that he'll bounce back and have a great year next year. Tyler still is in a little bit of a recovery mode. Some shoulder irritation. We don't want to push him too hard, given that he's coming off Tommy John. But nonetheless, saw some really good things from him, and I think we're at a point where we're just not going to accelerate his recovery from this. Jacob pitching again this weekend, and so we're excited. And then Max is also going to go out on rehab this weekend, and you know, potential for both those guys to rejoin the rotation next week.
CY, I'm just interested, when one day when you hang them up and you're at the lake house with all your buddies hanging out at the dock and stuff like that, and they ask you who the greatest baseball player is you ever played with or saw, where will Aaron Judge be on that list for you?
He's going to be pretty high. He's just tremendous. And I don't know Aaron well. I've gotten to know him a little bit just here and there, running into him at whether at the All-Star game or special events. And just seems like a tremendous person, first and foremost. I think every fan should really, appreciate the person that Aaron is. And I think that's, to me, what stands out. He's a special player, but he's also a very special human being. I think people just gravitate towards him because of his personality and his humility. And, you know, as I look at it from a parent's perspective, he's everything I'd want my sons to be. And he's near at the top of the list in terms of the greatest players I've ever seen.
It's Chris Young here with you in the Nation. Okay, so when it comes to competitive balance tax, do you believe that as a front office, you should be repeat payers on that throughout the duration of contending and accept that the tax is like the cost of doing business, essentially, to stay competitive?
Well, I think you're getting into some philosophical ownership questions to some degree, decisions that I don't make by myself. That said, I think, you know, we're in a market and in a size of a market where we can and should be willing to go over the luxury tax, you know, at the right times, the right moments. And I'm very grateful to our ownership last season for allowing us to do so. I think some of those moves that we were able to make at the deadline, which put us over the luxury tax threshold, contributed to us winning the World Series. And likewise, this year, ownership gave us the resources to put together a team that came into the season well over the luxury tax threshold. And unfortunately, it hasn't worked out for us this year. But nonetheless, I think that they have given us the resources. I think they've shown a willingness to go over the tax when necessary. I think it's a competitive advantage that we have in this market. And my expectation is that when the team is capable of winning a World Series, the resources that we need will be there for us.
We give you permission to go over the tax anytime you want. Whatever you want to do.
We'll just throw it. Not my money either. So.
Yeah. If you feel like you need to go over the tax to make us a little bit better, we'll trust you. Go ahead and just go over the tax. All right.
We'll vouch for you.
We'll vouch for you.
You guys can come advocate for me. Thank you.
Hey, you know, we got your back. We did want to ask you before we let you boogie out of here, because we got to talk with Jack Leiter earlier, but that lineup with the Yankees, I mean, went through two rounds pretty strong. That third time through is when things got a little wonky, but how'd you assess Jack Leiter's performance where he's at right now?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. It was an interesting game. I actually thought it was the best Jack's pitched here in his big league starts thus far. Saw some real positive things last night. Was really encouraged for him. Hated that the sixth inning, you know, kind of started with an infield hit there. I think that if that's a ground out, it may change the course of that inning. But nonetheless, that's part of being a big leaguer, is that you got to go out and face the third time through the order if you want to be a good starting pitcher. And I just love that Boach gave him that opportunity to go out and for the third time face the top of the New York Yankee lineup with two of the best hitters in the game and Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. So, you know, I think we saw that maybe not quite a finished product in terms of being able to navigate that third time. But nonetheless, what we saw the first five innings and gave up two runs and pitched very, very well against a tough lineup, I thought was a huge step in the right direction. I told Jack as much last night that I thought there were so many positives from this game, and don't let the negative from the either the final line or that sixth inning detract from all the positives that happens. You know, this is part of pitching development. I certainly experienced as a young pitcher that there are a lot of games where you feel like you're so close to having a good game, but it slips away from you. And the next step in the development is to be able to navigate that lineup for the third time through. And Jack will get there. But there were real positives last night, and I'm happy for him, and I'm excited to see him build off this. That's going to be the important part moving forward.
You're the man, CY. Thank you so much. Chat with you next week.
Guys, thank you. I appreciate it.
Cheers. There he goes. Chris Young, Rangers GM here. Mostly Mondays at 4:20 in the nation. Couldn't make it yesterday with the holiday. Nice enough to reschedule for today, so we're quite appreciative. Mark Schlereth talking football with him next. It's the G-Bag Nation on the Fan. Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and we're joined now by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. And Amar, good afternoon. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Wonderful. It's great to hear your voice and talk football with you. Now, big discussion here. Will the Cowboys sign Dak to a new deal 5 days until the season starts? How worried would you be about losing Dak right now, Mark?
Well, I mean, considering the fact that, you know, he was, what, second in the MVP voting, led the league in touchdowns. I mean, the guy was pretty phenomenal last year. And, you know, I know we push it toward the playoffs, you know, and it's interesting to me because everybody looks at Dak, well, you can't win in the playoffs, you know, like we need a new quarterback. Or, hey, you know, I mean, you know, Mike McCarthy is a great coach, 12 wins the last 3 years straight, but he can't win in the playoffs. The Cowboys ain't won in the playoffs since the 90s. I mean, like, it's more systemic of the organization. It's more about, you know, pointing the finger at the organization. We keep thinking that changing the quarterback or changing the coach is going to change your playoff future. I just don't know. I'm a Dak Prescott believer. I think he's a damn good quarterback. I think he's a guy that, you know, if the Cowboys decided, well, we're just not going to pay the guy, you know, and let him walk. Now, obviously, there's going to be 20-some-odd teams that can't wait to sign him. So he's a guy to me that you sign, you get him done, you figure it out, and you move on. And the other thing that I always say is, I mean, look what the San Francisco 49ers have done. They've signed Ayuk. They made Christian McCaffrey a big money contract. Ayuk, Deebo Samuel a couple years ago. You know, they just signed Trent Williams today. Bosa is signed to a big-time deal. Fred Warner signed to a big-time deal. The salary cap is fake. It's just a matter of if you want to push money into the future or not. You know, it just is a matter of if you want to manage it well and pay your really good players. Or if you don't, and I don't know what else you have to learn about Dak to know that is a damn good quarterback and gives you a chance to at least be in the playoffs every year. I live in Denver, or I've lived in Denver for the last 20 some odd years. And I know what it's been like going through kind of quarterback purgatory the last couple of years. So do I pay him? Hell yeah, I pay him.
Stink, you have a clip from last year that we love playing on the show about the Cowboys where they're going to S in their helmets like they do every year come playoff time. And honestly, it was gold, and it was like you saw the future because it happened again. If you're pro-Dak, is it then an organizational failure? You're pointing the finger at the Jones family. Is that the reason for the lack of playoff success for damn near 30 years now?
Yeah, I mean, at some point, right, it's Jason Garrett's fault, it's Mike McCarthy's fault, it's Dak's fault, it's Romo's fault, eventually you have to look at the organization and figure out, okay, what is it that we're not, you know, what is it that we're not addressing, what is it that we're not doing right, you know, and I said this last year, I mean, in all honesty, when your head coach and your quarterback show up to the organization or show up into the locker room, and neither of them were aware that you just made a trade as a management team, as an owner, as a general manager for Trey Lance, that's an issue. That should be something that's addressed with the head coach. Does he fit? Do we want him? Does he work with what we're doing? That would be something that, to me, again, and there are little things that become big things. When you emasculate your coach, when you don't empower your coach to be the guy that makes the decisions, you know, and you can make decisions on a day-to-day basis, but if everybody in the building knows, yeah, you're not really in charge, that's a bad situation. And we can sit there and say, well, how does that manifest itself into losses in the playoffs? Well, listen, when you get to the playoffs, it's pretty freaking good, right? When you get to the playoffs, you're playing the best of the best. And if things are even a little out of whack, you're not going to overcome those things against really good teams. You've got to be so dialed in and so sold out for one another and so incredibly connected. And when that stuff happens, I remember the tight end Schultz, who went to Houston last year, and said, what a relief it was to just focus on football and not feel like you're a zoo animal. Like, you know, you're walking through and you know, there's glass and there's people that are sitting there watching practice and watching you walk out to practice. And, like, that's a sanctuary. It's funny. When Sean Payton took over the Denver Broncos, and I've done a bunch of games there, and, you know, you go in and you eat lunch at the cafeteria, right? They feed you, and they've got a meeting room right off the cafeteria where you meet with the coaches, you meet with the players and all that stuff. And every time I was in there calling a Broncos game, you know, people from the sales office would be up there with their clients, would be in the players' cafeteria and eating lunch with clients. And the, you know, the clients would be like, oh, there's so-and-so. And, oh, there's so-and-so. And, oh, there's a player, right? Sean Payton came in. It took him about 3 days to put the moratorium on. There's no non-essentials that are allowed in my cafeteria. Hey, like, business people, pack a freaking lunch, but you're not bringing clients to where my players are, you know, where my players have a sanctuary. Like, that, I can tell you as a player, it used to bother the crap out of me when, you know, I mean, we had a couple of really good seasons, three good seasons. One, we started 13-0, and, you know, all the national media started showing up at about week 7. And it got to the point where it was so crowded, you felt violated. Like, I don't have any place to go hide. I don't have any place to get away from this. And when that's constant, I think it takes away from you guys being together and you guys doing the things that are required to really have a close-knit, you know, tight football team that's going to fight for one another in those, you know, in those games where it's, but frankly, not to be rude, but nut cutting time.
They stink. The one of the things that a lot of Cowboy fans are concerned about is their running game. And, you know, you have the two rookies, the rookie tackle and the rookie center making starts. And you played with some really good teams that were running the football. What's Dallas going to have to do to be more efficient running the football this year?
You got to run it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm not trying to be a wise butt, but sure. Running the ball, like, you know, I was talking about CU football, and I don't know if you guys watched that opening game with Colorado.
Don't run the ball very much, yeah.
No, but listen, you can't run the ball if you don't run the ball.
Right.
And what I mean by that is you can't throw it 42 times and get a lead of 9 points and say, okay, now in the fourth quarter, here we go. Let's grind it out. Mm-hmm. That is a skill that requires commitment. And it requires commitment from everybody, from wide receivers to the running backs to the offensive line to the quarterback. Everybody has to be dialed in. The tight ends, everybody. And the coaching staff has to be dialed in. And there is no greater skill than moving a man from point A to point B against his will. That is technique. You just don't, like, I heard this all the time from coaches. Like, hey, man, got to stay lower here. Yeah, no crap. Really? Got to stay lower? Why? Because I'm getting impaled? Yeah, I get that. I get
wins.
That. How? You're like, how do you stay lower? Well, it's technique, right? The technique of creating leverage from your feet through your ankles, through your knees, through your hips, all that ties together with your hips and your hands. And if all that stuff comes off in a kinetic chain, one after the other, and they all strike at the same time, you lift your opponent up through the sky, you know, and striking not out but up. And when you do that, you create leverage, and then you take people off the ball. And when you can do that consistently across the board, guess what? You start getting those yards, that those dirty yards, where that 2-yard run becomes a 4-yard run, and that 4-yard run becomes an 8-yard run, and that 8-yard run becomes a 16-yard run. And pretty soon in the fourth quarter, they're waving the white flags over on the other side. They're like, we don't want to do this anymore. But that takes a commitment. So you don't just say, hey, man, we're going to have this great passing game and we're going to have this great running game. Got to have a great running game first, right? And you play off that. You tie and you marry, you know, play action off of that stuff. And you tie and you make it look identical. And then you just absolutely, you know, eviscerate people. But, again, that's one of those things that there is such a commitment that has to be made. And your coaches have to understand, and your OCs have to understand that, you know, that probably doesn't excite a lot of owners when the next round of hirings comes up.
Mark Schlereth here with you in the G-Bag Nation. We were wondering about your other former stomping ground, of course, now in Denver, but first half of your career in Washington. How good are the Commanders going to be here with the new quarterback rookie year?
Yeah, well, I mean, that, there's a lot that has to go on with the Commanders because it's been a mess for decades and decades. And listen, I think they hired the right guy in Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn is one of those guys that I think players just genuinely respect, genuinely love, and genuinely want to play hard for. So I think that's, you know, I think that's an important aspect of kind of creating and changing and helping to, you know, manipulate that culture, if you will. I am concerned about the offense coordinator. You know, Cliff Kingsbury is a air raid, you know, guy, and air raid guys tend to live outside the numbers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the college game. Like, we're going to run it outside the numbers. We're going to throw it outside the numbers. That's what we do. The NFL tends to be inside the numbers. That's how you win in the NFL. And so, you know, questions about him in general, what he's learned from, you know, his time in Arizona and his time in the NFL. And we'll see how that kind of happens and the kind of maturation process that offense goes through. But I do believe Dan Quinn is the right guy. And Jaden Daniels, you know, watching all the film, Jaden was one of my favorite evaluations. The two guys that I liked the most coming out, I didn't really look that much at Caleb Williams because everybody knew Caleb Williams was going to Chicago, right? So I looked a little bit at him, but I knew he was going to Chicago. I looked at Jaden Daniels because I live in Denver, and I looked at all the other quarterbacks, and it really was Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels were my two favorite quarterbacks coming out. Just watching the timing of the way they played the game, the accuracy, the getting the ball out of their hand quickly, accurately. And you can't be accurate in the NFL. You cannot be accurate as a quarterback if you're not on time. Being on time lends itself to being accurate. And I thought those two were really good in those aspects.
Well, thanks for joining us this season, Mark. We really look forward to it. Enjoy the first week, and we'll catch you up with you next Tuesday.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Take care.
There he goes. Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious.
I like the way you said catch up with you next Tuesday instead of see you next Tuesday. You're so much more respectful than what Mark Schlereth would have been.
Yes, sir.
I'll have to keep that one in the back pocket, though, you know, just in case things get squirrely.
It's a long season. You know what I mean? You never know.
Yeah. You never know what could happen. In addition to the finest coming up next, though, Eric, where are you taking us?
Well, we got more Jaden Daniels conversation that needs to be had. We have Mike Zimmer pulling no punches. And if you think this guy forgot how to play football, think again.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.